Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Flocking Around. I'm Joe McDonald, here with our hosts and senior soccer players, Danny Gerges and Emily Ehlert. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Got a good start to the school year, start to season. I just kind of get into the swing of things.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Our fans would like to get to know you, so we'll play a game called Let the Good Times Roll. Players take turns asking each other questions for four rounds, and each round has more thoughtful questions than the last. Whoever's hometown is furthest away goes first. So, tell us where you're from and how you came to ISU. Emily, how about you first?
Yeah, I am from a suburb right outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I came to ISU as I was going through my recruiting process just on a visit for soccer, and I really liked the college town feel of the campus, and for the different majors that I was considering at the time, I was able to meet with the chair of those respective departments, and I really liked how it seemed like a good soccer fit and a good academic fit, so I just felt right at home.
What were those departments, and which one of the departments won after you talked to their chairs?
Well, at the time, I was a sophomore, and I am now currently an actuarial science major, but at the time, I don't even think I knew what actuarial science was. I was more interested or thought I was interested in doing interior design. The other person I met with was somebody just generally in the math department. It was not Dr. Chris or anyone in the actuarial science department. But I think I just ended up meeting with someone in the math department because I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I was just trying to talk to anyone and everyone. But ultimately, as I mentioned, I guess the math side did win, as I am an actuarial science major. So that's how that ended up working out.
How about you, Danny? Where is your home and how did you come to ISU?
Yes, so originally I was born in New York, but relatively early in my life, my family and I moved to Las Vegas, Nevada for my dad's work. And within that, I'd consider myself more from Las Vegas, and the town or suburb that we were from was Henderson. And that's where I consider myself raised from. Didn't really know much about the Midwest. And actually, when I was going through recruiting, I had a map of the United States and I drew a line across from California to maybe Virginia. And I said, I'm only going south of this line. I don't like the cold. And I was definitely looking to be in a warmer climate. But like similar to Emily, as recruiting kind of goes on, you get taken to some unexpected places. And I had come on a visit to Illinois State, despite having some hesitancies within that. And I came to campus and I did fall in love with it. It was, you know, a textbook college town. It was in a conference where I felt like I could compete in and possibly make an impact on the field. And if not, things that were going on off the field, such as, you know, the environment, the team culture, the community, all those things really stood out to me as if it's a place that I could be for 4 years and call home, especially that I was going to be a flight away. I wanted to make sure I was comfortable there, and my parents wanted to make sure that it was a place that they felt was safe and a good fit for me. So that is how I ended up at ISU, and I had actually graduated high school early, so I had to come here in January of 2020, which was pretty unique as well.
Well, Danny, you are definitely furthest away. And you'll get the chance to start off round one by asking the first question to Emily.
I want to ask you, Emily, what is your morning or bedtime routine? What's the first thing you're doing when you wake up, and what do you do before you go to bed?
Okay, I'll start with morning, I guess. I wake up, and I am the type of person when I wake up, I only set one alarm. I set it for as late as possible. And as soon as it goes off, it rings one time and I like jolt awake. I'm a very light sleeper. I hit snooze. I turn on my light and I get to my feet as fast as possible. Like, that sounds so weird, but I am just like, if I don't get up and I don't do it right away, I'm not gonna do it. And so I just always, and I don't snooze or like wake up slowly. I'm very like abrupt. And so I'll get up pretty much right away and make my bed always, make my bed every single day. Shout out mom for that. Part of my morning routine, and get dressed for whatever I'm about to go do. And it depends if I'm going to like class first or soccer first, or kind of how I eat or what I eat, if I eat, I guess. And then I'll come downstairs, and Danny knows that I'm not very talkative in the morning, so she is careful with her words when we meet in the kitchen. She's lucky if I say hello or anything, but Danny is always very nice to me in the morning, always says good morning, Emily. And then we a lot of times end up needing to go to the same place, so me and Danny will be on our way together. At night, I've been trying to, or I guess since I've been in college, I've been reading more before bed. So I will like be on my phone or technology before bed, or if we're in the living room, like hanging out together. I will come up and get ready for bed and brush my teeth and everything. And then before I go to bed, I will try to read just a few pages from whatever book I'm like reading at the time. And I'm not a big reader, but I just read to kind of like help me fall asleep. So, because otherwise I'm not a very good sleeper in general. I'm a light sleeper. It takes me a while to fall asleep. I don't stay asleep very well. So, reading kind of helps me chill out. So, yeah.
Nice. And I can confirm that Emily is very short of words in the morning. I may annoy her in the morning with my too many words, but I've learned to be a little bit more quiet. And I don't know if Emily also did mention in her morning routine is to turn on every light in the house. Every light. There is not a light switch that is not turned on at 6
I
a.m.
turn on so many lights. Yeah. And Danny knows that my lack of words is not lack of love. My turn to ask Danny. And I'm lucky enough to know Danny very well, as she is my roommate and one of my best friends. And I know Danny is kind of a high strung person, and she has a hard time relaxing. So I am really curious, Danny, what do you do to de-stress?
I think I really do love just time to chill. Like we always joke that I'm sometimes the first person to go downstairs at the end of a night for all hanging out in the living room, but that alone time right before I go to sleep, just to kind of watch whatever show I want or do whatever on my phone or hang out. I don't know. I think that that alone time really does help me de-stress because I think a lot of our days are spent with so many people, and we're around our teammates, we're around our coaches, we're around classmates, peers, everybody. We're always surrounded by people throughout the day. So I think at the end of the night, having some alone time to watch my show definitely helps me de-stress. And I think a second thing that's more of a fun way that I feel like I de-stress in. Kind of stop thinking about school or work or soccer. I always love going out to eat and trying new restaurants. And I think that when you get dressed up and you wear normal clothes, you're not in dry fit shirts anymore. I think that really helps me kind of have fun, try something new. And yeah, so I think those two things, alone time and then maybe trying something new, going out to eat, trying new restaurants in Bologna.
Nice. Yes, I can agree. When it's 8 o'clock and Danny says she's ready to go downstairs, I do make fun of her a little bit because I'm the exact opposite and I almost need to be around everyone all the time. But she does love her alone time and I admire her for it. Maybe I should try it.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
Used to think, what is it like just being able to read people's minds? But now I would not say that. I think that that would actually be, I think sometimes that would be not a good thing to know what someone is thinking about me. That'd probably be terrible. So now, okay. I think this is gonna make me sound like a nerd, but I think I would want to have a photographic memory. I think that would like be so useful. And just like even for school, career, obviously, yes. But think about like if say you're like in an argument with someone and you could like bring up a point and you definitively know you are right because you have a photographic memory and know you said this, and then you could really just stick it to them. And it's just so like satisfying to be right. I think I would like having a photographic memory.
Are you beefing with anybody right now, Emily?
I don't know, maybe you.
That's funny. You see, I have a very strong opinion about the best superpower, and
What?
I don't know. I think I've always wanted to be invisible. Like you could turn invisible
Mm.
and stuff. I feel like you could do so much that you could travel. Like I know some people, when you think of travel, they're like do teleportation, but I think being invisible could be really useful.
Yeah, there are a few places I would like to be a fly on the wall and just be invisible. I agree. Okay, Danny, tell us what is one book, show, podcast, musician, pop art type of thing that you would recommend and why?
So I guess I'll take this moment to talk about a book that I just read and a show I've been watching. So in terms of book, it was very popular on like social media. And I was into Malibu Rising. I actually forget who the author is of it, but I really liked Malibu Rising. And it was about this like family, and their father was like a superstar singer, super famous, but he had like left their family. So it's like they were had such a famous name and were like really a famous family, but they were left with nothing since he had left them. And I thought that was a very cool book. And one of the daughters had like a rise to fame on herself by herself without her dad. And I thought that was very interesting. So Malibu Rising was a recent book that I really liked and would recommend to someone else. I read it relatively fast. And then a show, which I've recommended this actually to Emily, and I'm watching it currently, and she's now watching it as well. The White Lotus on HBO Max. I really couldn't even tell you exactly what the point of the show is, but it does keep you very engaged. And you know, it's set in this exclusive resort, and all the drama between the families and couples and individuals that are staying there, and how it all kind of gets intertwined. I know this is another thing that was popular on social media and trending for a period of time, but I just got HBO Max, and it was the first thing I've wanted to watch, and I've liked it so far. And Emily, I know she has too. So I think those would be my two recommendations. So obviously you've talked about that you, and I know that you do a ton of math, a ton of actuarial science things and all that good stuff. But what's your least favorite subject or class? Because I don't imagine many of those classes are fun. But maybe you'd say different. And I don't know, you tell me. Is English your least favorite now? Because you like
Oh
math.
my gosh.
Or what's your least favorite?
Oh my gosh. It's hard now because I'm in all these classes that are more major specific. So I feel like I've kind of been in sort of my forte, I guess, for like definitely this year and last year. I was never good at science. And my mother works in the like healthcare field. So she was very sad when I said I did not want to be a doctor. But I just am not cut out for it, not good at science. A class that I took my sophomore year that I had to take for actuarial science was IT 166, which teaches you the computer program Python, just like a coding language. And I was not good at that at all. And I always wish I was better at that or knew how to do that. And Yeah, it's so defeating, and I really don't like coding, but I don't like coding because I wish I could, and I just can't, and it's not intuitive to me. And it was a hard class, but I did fine enough in it, but it did make me not want to take another IT class. So I would say my least, since being in college, my least favorite subject would probably be something in IT. I think everyone would like to know, Danny, what do you look for in a friend?
Oh, this is such a cute question.
If not me.
This may be a hot topic. Maybe some people would disagree, but I just love somebody that I could gossip with, that I could talk about everything with, and I don't feel like judged, or I feel like we could just have this like free-flowing conversation that's just between us. I really care about that, like part of a relationship or a friendship, and just someone that kind of gives you like a relief. Like you're around people all day and you go to this person and you feel comfortable and you feel like you could talk about anything and like anything and everything in your life. So I think that, well, I don't know what the one word would be, maybe the
Like a
feeling of,
confidant,
yeah, and a
maybe.
feeling of comfortability, like someone that you can rely on and go to consistently. Another good thing that I look for in a friend is someone that you can chill with, or someone that you like the same activities as well. Like I want to have just that we can enjoy each other's presence, just hanging out in the living room or in the car. But we also both like, doing activities outside of the house, because I think it is important to have relatively like similar interests or similar habits. I think that's when you can have a really good friendship, because you kind of understand where each of you two are coming from. I hope it's relatively easy to be my friend. I hope people want to be my friend. So.
Yes, Danny, you're very easy to be a friend. And this is funny. This is very apt timing because we and me and Danny obviously spend so much of our day together and just around, like doing a lot of the same activities. And it is always nice to kind of come home and debrief the day with your roommates and your teammates and oh, like how did this class go, or how did this class go, or what'd you do today, and stuff like that, or and we have our own like idea for a show or talk show or podcast that we've talked about before, and it's I don't mean to be a hater, but and then it's followed by something that we're hating on, like I don't mean to be a hater, but like this happened in my class today and it just annoyed me or something like that. And it's just things that, you know, you gotta come home and you gotta talk to your roommates about it and they'll always be there to listen. And it's just your roommates and your best friends really have, they are always the ear for what you have to say at the end of the day.
My question, and this is our final question for this first round.
I think
So I'm
so.
gonna end it with a hard hitter, Emily. If you were ice cream, what flavor would you be and why?
Oh my gosh, really peeling back the layers here. Okay, well, I can start off by saying that my favorite flavor of ice cream is Rocky Road.
Yeah, I did know that. So I was wondering if you were gonna go with
Yeah.
what describes you best, or if you're gonna go
I
with.
love Rocky Road. My mom makes the best like homemade ice cream. She makes Rocky Road and she sent it back to school with me one time and Danny got to try it. But okay, so love Rocky Road. But as a person, I don't know that Rocky Road really like suits me. What I'm gonna go with, okay, this is also kind of niche. There's this flavor is like at a ice cream shop from my hometown. The flavor is vanilla malt chip. So it's like malted milk ball, like malt vanilla. And because I think I'm like kind of vanilla, like I think I'm kind of vanilla-y as a person, I guess. But like I'm more vanilla. But I don't know. I love malt. I love that flavor and like malted chocolate, that kind of thing. So yeah, I think as my personality, and I don't know, you can leave that up to interpretation, but I think I would be a vanilla malt chip flavor. I know you did not grow up with pets, and I know your parents only very recently got a pet. Now in your life that I know you've come around on said pets, but what animal would be your ideal pet?
I super love my parents' dog, Bandit. He is just the best and the best dog we could have ever have gotten for our family. However, I still cannot get behind the dog hair and dog poop and drool. I just can't get behind that. So that leaves me with very little animals to pick from. So my ideal pet,
Like a fish, maybe.
I don't even know if I like fish like that. I gotta really sit back and think about my ideal pet. I
You have
think
to pick one. Your answer can't be no pet.
because I want something that can still be friendly with me. So that does like bring me back to like a puppy. But I guess it's cliche, and I guess this is a pretty like it's an easy out, but I think that a very well-trained and well-behaved puppy, that would be my ideal pet, but they have a lot of things that they can't do, such as bark or poop in the house or pee in the house or get hair all over my leggings. They can't do any of that. So as long as they don't do that, I think that's my ideal pet.
Or go in the car because then the car smells like dog,
Oh
right?
yeah, that's another thing they can't do is smell like dog. They gotta use some what is it? Like
Deodorant.
yeah, Trident or Colgate in
Try it.
teeth. Use some gum,
My
something like
gosh.
that. That ends round one. Well done. Now on to round two.
How would you think your parents would describe you? Both your mom and your dad. I feel like both of them would have a lot to say. I feel like they would both speak very highly of you.
Yeah.
So I would like to know, what do you think they would say about you?
I think to be very surface level, if my parents were to say like, oh, well, how would you describe Emily? Maybe they'd say like annoying or something like that. I don't know. I'm just
Mom's
like
gonna listen to this.
I I feel like I am a lot. I'm not low maintenance by any means. I guess in comparison to my brothers, I am the only girl and was treated like it, and I feel like I had a lot of privileges and a lot of special treatments, and just I don't know, I just felt so spoiled growing up. I feel like my mom was like always gonna spoil me. I think if I had grown up with a sister, it'd be very different. But no, to be for real, I think my parents would describe me as ambitious. Hardworking, very friendly. So yeah, it's like kind of at first impression, maybe I come across like very type A, very sophisticated, put together, well spoken or whatever. But then if you get to know me a little more, I am just kind of silly. I feel like that's how they would describe me, and that pulls from both of their traits, I guess. My mom is very hardworking, very career ambitious, and really showed me what it was like to work for what you want, and the whole idea behind delayed gratification and everything. I really look up to her in that way. And my dad is just very just goofy, I guess. He really just likes the simple things in life, and I think some of that passed on to me. And so I feel like I'm kind of a mixture of both of them in that way, but I think they would have those things to say about me.
I would agree. I think that you are very much a mix of your both your parents. You got a little bit of camp girl in you and a little bit
Yes.
of boss lady in you.
Danny, if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
You know, I think that this is a relatively easy question. I think, well, maybe I'll get tired of it eventually, but my favorite food is chicken wings. I love chicken wings, and if I can just eat Pizza, chicken wings, and French fries, go to get some bar food or something and family style meal. Everyone eats all together. I think I could eat that literally every single day because, and I guess this is maybe adding a couple things in one, but pizza, you get some bread and cheese and pasta sauce or marinara sauce, whatever. And then you get chicken wings. So I get my spicy fried chicken and then French fries just to wash it all down, What could go wrong with that meal? I just can't put my finger on it. So I think,
Nice,
yeah, relatively easy question for me. I think that's my death row meal. So I think I could handle it for the rest of my life.
nice, nice.
What was your dream job as a child? Like, was it something completely different when you were little too? Like, I don't know, hairdresser,
Yeah, you
beauty
know, when
pageant.
you're little and like the only five jobs you know are astronaut, teacher, doctor,
Lawyer.
yeah, lawyer, maybe lawyer.
That's in life, It's one of the
Yeah,
things you
maybe
could
what your parents do, like, very much public service jobs or like jobs that you could dress up as a Halloween costume,
Yes,
like when I think of,
veterinarian. That's a
yeah,
big
vet, yeah, vet,
deal.
yep, okay. Yeah, so you have a very like small like range of careers to choose from. But no, I grow when I was a little kid, I did want to be an artist. I thought that I just loved art, and I could sit with like paper and markers or crayons, colored pencils, whatever, and be entertained for so long, and I just would draw whatever I saw. Obviously, as I grew up, that shifted into, okay, you know, what could you actually do with this? Did you be an interior designer, I guess. In high school, I took every art class that my high school offered, and I made a lot of cool stuff that just now sits at my parents' house in a box somewhere. But as I was then in high school and, started to think about other careers or stuff like that, and, thought I would be interested in interior design, had this kind of realization that, art and doing artsy things can always be something that I do and something that I'm interested in. And you don't have to stop doing that to do something else. You can still have that be part of your life. So I would say that I do still like to do some artsy stuff here and there. And someone's birthday in the house, I draw a card instead of buy a card. Or I have stuff even up in my wall here in my room that I draw or paint or make, and just don't feel like putting it away somewhere. So I put it up on the wall, or I got some stuff in the living room downstairs in our apartment that I painted. So yeah, it's just kind of turned into this kind of thing where if I have the time, or if someone ever wants to do a craft or something with me, I'm always down. But when I was a little kid, that was like the career path that just seemed the most applicable to my Mickey Mouse coloring book. I know you've held so many leadership roles within athletics now. So, how do you balance for anyone listening that doesn't know, maybe what you've done over the last 4 years, how do you balance life with that work or school and soccer?
I felt like I felt more balanced after putting myself in different positions that just judged me on who I was as like a person and who Danny was without shin guards on, without cleats on. And I think that it showed me that I am like more than just an athlete. So I think that even though it seemed like a lot, and I felt like I was being maybe pulled in a lot of different directions at times, and felt like there was a lot of things I needed to do, but it made it easier because those things that I loved doing and things that I was very willing to give my time to. And I think also just I balance it all by giving myself grace within things. I really struggled in my first 2 years, especially of soccer in college, that I'd be really hard on myself if I wasn't the goalie that was playing, and I would really question how good I was, and then it would translate to what I am as a person. And I know now, like looking back on it, that's not like the best way to go about it, because that can be like very draining, and it can be hard, and it can make your whole life feel kind of gray, even though that's such a small part of what you do. You can do them all, but you don't have to be Superman in anything. As long as you can just be confident that you gave it your best, I think that that's like enough that I can ask. What are you passionate about in life?
I grew up with two full-time working parents. And when I was younger and not able to like be home alone and stuff, when school would let out for the summer, me and my siblings would go. We were signed up for summer camp. It was just like 20 minutes from my hometown, so nearby. But it felt like a whole different world. I felt like I was a kid and I was being dropped off in like Narnia or something. And just to know that like I was spending all summer there really was so like intoxicating. Let me go make new friends, let me go meet new people, try new things, and has very much like outdoor component to it. So we did actually like camp and sleep in, you slept in a tent and did a ton of stuff outside, but it is in your head like what you can picture a, a residential summer camp for kids to be ages like 7 through, or six maybe, through like 14. And I have found ways to stay in touch with people there, and I did it for 1 week last year, just go and work there for a week. And the really cool part about like camp and the friends that I've made through camp is it is like a job. Technically, I am getting would be getting paid to do it, but because it's a residential summer camp, and they give you a place to stay, like they give you room and board, technically is what it's called. They feed you and they give you a place to stay. They're not required to pay you minimum wage. So like everyone that's working at camp is technically working, quote unquote, for 24 hours a day, and getting paid like cents an hour. Nobody, my like of my friends that work at camp still, like nobody at camp is doing it for a job, like if that makes sense. Everyone just loves it so much and has been going there for so long that it's just kind of turned into this like second lifestyle almost. And so it is a place that is very close to my heart. Very, very passionate about the people and things that I've met there. It was very much a part of my childhood, and did a lot of like growing up there, I guess, during the summer. And the biggest thing that I got out of camp that I still kind of carry around with me is there was a goal setting program that we did that you start when you're 12. And then kind of like every year that you return to camp, you do a second part of the goal setting program. And I have like a tattoo for it and everything, and it's just about ways that you like can improve oneself and become closer to nature and other people around you, and just how to kind of become the best version of yourself. So all this to say, I do plan on returning there, hopefully next summer after I'm done with soccer, and get to go back and hang out with some new kiddos who then I can share my like kind of give back in a way. So give someone else that experience that was given to me. Who, Danny, who is one of the kindest people you know?
Even though it is cliche, I really do think that one of the kindest people is my mom. And I just think that, she's someone that is completely selfless and will constantly meet the needs of others before meeting the needs of herself. And I really admire it. And I recognize how hard it is to kind of like emulate that type of, like behavior all the time, but I really don't think that there is many other people like in this world that could do that so consistently, and expect and ask for nothing in return. So I definitely think that my mom would be up there for me, and I think that a lot of how I've wanted to or like strive to treat people comes from her, because I've seen her really be someone that a lot of people could lean on, and she's really great at, making relationships and making people feel really special. So I'd say my mom.
Now it's time to move on to round three.
What would you do if you had enough money for the rest of your life and didn't have to work?
First, I would travel, okay, with my money. Then maybe like get involved with something. But nobody wants to be sedentary. I mean, everyone wants to feel like they're doing something purposeful and productive. So, yeah, I guess maybe just finding ways to be involved with whatever is going on. Okay, this one, maybe this is just like opportunity for like a funny story, but what is the funniest thing that happened to you recently?
There isn't one exact thing that I could pinpoint, but a very just funny night where just fun was going on throughout the whole evening. This past weekend, we had a great dinner with our roommates and friend, as well as five of us, that we all went out to dinner at onto an agave in town. And there were just some jokes being thrown across the table, and we were maybe being a little bit too loud compared to the other guests around us, and we were just having a lot of good friend time. And then we had a great dinner, and then we had the car ride home where we just sang and danced, and there was nothing that super crazy. No one was getting made fun of, but it was a time where we could all kind of be silly and be ourselves. And I think that I was laughing super duper hard throughout that entire night, because we were just, yeah, I don't know, enjoying some like a girls' night out and dinner time and fun music and everything. So not necessarily that we were poking fun at any one person, but I just think that we were laughing with each other, at each other, throughout the whole night. And that goes back to some of my favorite things. If you just want to kind of balance everything and de-stress, and get dressed up, and you get to go out to dinner with your girlfriends, and you have a good time. So not necessarily one,
Yes, that was fun.
but a lot of laughs for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't like nothing funny like happened, but I was laughing for sure. And like nothing elevates like the environment like being in a car. Like you're listening to music, but once you're in the car listening to music, like the mood just is elevated, and we're all like it was a full car and just like windows down playing music, and our other friend Katie is a really silly dancer, and she was just like being crazy. So definitely like a lot of laughs shared. Sorry if that was a tougher question, but that was a good answer.
That's okay. Do I have one more question to ask, or are we on to the next round already? One more, right?
One more.
Okay. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
So I really do want to end up in a place where there are seasons. Like I couldn't live somewhere where there isn't like fluctuation, I guess. And I grew up in the Midwest and was around like snow and cold winters and stuff. And I think you gotta take the bad with the good, and there's nothing better than waking up and it's snowing and a snow day, or going like sledding with your friends, or I don't know, my a family is like into downhill skiing. So I think that like later in my life, like if I have a family, I would want to like pass that on to them. And also like this is just me thinking logistically, I really would want to be like with my parents or near my parents, like later on if in life if I want them to be involved in my family's life. But you know, if I had the choice and I could just take anybody, take my whole circle with me wherever I'd go, like Colorado or somewhere out west would be cool. My fit, and I know this doesn't align with like what I all said about seasons and everything like that, but my family did take a vacation to Hawaii one time, and I thought that that was just the most magical place ever. And it's just so crazy because it feels like you're in a different country, but you are still in the United States, and my cell service still worked, and I could go to a Target if I wanted to go to Target. Like, I don't know, I loved that vacation. I loved Hawaii as a place, but realistically, where do I want to end up is probably not Hawaii. Danny, if you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would you choose?
The first person that came to my head, I think I'm just thinking of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh my
You
gosh.
know, and you can laugh at Abraham Lincoln being my go-to guy, but I think that it would be very interesting to sit down and have coffee with him and ask him how he handles work-life balance. And I don't know how he handled it, but he obviously had to have handled it pretty dang well to, you know, be such a renowned president within that. So I think that I would like to meet with him and see like how it was like possible to maybe go against the status quo of so many things and you know, go against people that have such strong opinions and how can you unite people. And I think that good and bad, he had many different like leadership qualities that would be very interesting to like hear about and learn about. And then maybe talk about, you know, his like moments leading up to death. That's got to be pretty dramatic too. Like
Yeah.
there's a lot to unpack
Wow.
with him. So maybe I'll discuss it with him at Coffee Hound or something.
That ends round three. One more round to go. The most thoughtful question yet.
I would like to know, Emily, how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as someone that was grateful for everything that I have and the people that are in my life and the opportunities that I've been given. I think it was something that like my parents really tried to instill in us, living like such a life of privileges to never like take it for granted. And so I think I would like to be remembered as someone that comes across as just very grateful for everything that I have because I'm so lucky. Danny, if you could go back and tell 18-year-old Danny, one piece of advice, what would it be?
To relax. I think
To
it's
be
very,
chill.
yeah, chill, maybe a little bit more. I think that my head was going a million miles a minute when I was 18, you know, in a huge transition time, hoping people would like me. I had never played high school soccer, so I never knew what it was really like to play with girls, and you didn't either. So I didn't really know what it was like to be a freshman versus a senior, and you know, to be playing next to a girl that was just as old as my older sister, and but we were teammates and everything, and new place, new people, new friends, new environment. I think that if I would tell myself anything, it would just be to relax and everything is going to be okay. Enjoy it just a little bit more and worry a little bit less because it was almost one of the like easier times of my college career and I just didn't even know it. But part of me also thinks contradicting that statement is sometimes that's what makes me. And I was meant to go through those times where I was stressed. And that kind of has created the person that I am today. And, you know, I like the person that I am today. So it has its good and bad.
Well, thanks so much to both of you for playing Let the Good Times Roll. I'm sure the fans really enjoyed getting a chance to get to know you both. Recently, with mental health being such an increasingly important issue for student athletes, you attended an event called the Tyler Talk, put on by an organization called Helinski's Hope. Could you tell us a little bit about that event?
So, Mr. and Mrs. Helinski lost their son in 2018 to suicide, and he was a quarterback at Washington State that showed no signs of depression. And their foundation is to reach out to student athletes or at schools across the country and basically share Tyler's story and destigmatize mental health in sports, and maybe specifically like men's mental health in sports, or just kind of like being a student athlete and like being nervous to ask for help almost if you need it. And the point that they drove home was you don't need a tragedy to ask for help. You don't need some traumatic events to happen to you to be depressed or needing to talk to somebody and stuff. I think their mission is to reach out to other people that may be struggling and no one knows a Tyler in the audience somewhere. And if they can reach that, there is other Tyler they'll be.
What are one or two main takeaways that each of you had from that event?
Happy.
I think that for me, there is not. As a college student, nevertheless a student athlete, the pressure that gets put on you is so immense. And you sometimes are told to compartmentalize or to just be this person when you get to the soccer field and none of this matters. But that's not what it really is. That's not real life. You bring everything with you when you go to practice, you bring everything with you. Everybody's got something that maybe you don't see at a first glance, or even in the first few times that you meet with them, or it could be a friend that you've had for a long time and you don't know what happens behind the scenes. And I think it's really important to know that in every like encounter that you have with a person.
Definitely like put things into perspective of how well do I really know the people around me, and how well do I really know what they do have maybe going on? Who can I reach out to that maybe I don't know what's going on with them, good or bad? And what would they have to say if I checked in on them?
How do you feel like going to this event might help your soccer team?
I mean, it was a very powerful event. I don't even think I can put into words the way that it made all of us feel. And an event like that affects everyone on different levels. It like made me feel closer to my teammates almost, or it just made me feel like we all got to be looking out for each other better. And the same way we go out on the field and we got to have each other's back when we're covering someone or gonna step in and make a tackle because you missed it and I got your back, dude, and we're gonna do this together, is like the same way you got to be kind of looking out for each other in life and off the field.
And I think making sure that we view our teammates in that way really helps create more of like a bond and a friendship amongst us that's deeper than just sports that bring us together, because there's just a lot that we want to learn about each other. And I think that a conversation like this motivates us to do so.
Well, thanks so much for helping we Redbird fans get to know you. We wish you good luck in your soccer season and in the new school year, and we hope to have you back real soon.
Thanks for flocking around with us.